If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of SportsCenter Kansas City here on ESPN Kansas City. I'm Joshua Briscoe. You're listening to 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and my headphones are loud. Shout out to Darren and Sterling. Sterling's out right now, but that's sort of the unofficial name of the show here at 3 o'clock every day on ESPN Kansas City. Turns out Darren might be a little hard of hearing. That's not his fault. It's just something that I was dealing with, but I'm not anymore. I got it fixed.
I think I'm coming down with this problem. I feel like in my right ear, my AirPods are not as loud, and I thought maybe I just have like a lot of wax in my ear.
Yeah.
And I really went in with a Q-tip, and there's not much there. My dad has a history of like not great hearing, and I'm like, oh, God, I think it's happening.
I think it's got to be borderline impossible to work in radio for many years and not have significant hearing loss.
For sure.
Plus, you and I especially, that's Rudy Salazar on the other side of the glass. You and I on a regular basis, like literally... I would say non-hyperbolic here, the vast majority of my waking hours I have in some form of earbud or on some pair of headphones on my head or car speakers playing something because I'm scared to be alone with my own thoughts.
No, I get that. So, like, I've noticed, like, whenever I can, if I have, like, my AirPods in, it's clearly not as loud in my right ear as it is in my left ear.
You can't adjust that, by the way. I was looking into that whenever my AirPods were broken.
Oh, maybe I accidentally changed that to setting, and I actually can hear just fine.
You went in there with a Q-tip. I'm a big Q-tip. I use Q-tips after every shower.
Never go too deep, you know? I'm not trying to, like, puncture or anything.
But still, here's the thing. You can, like, you could be packing earwax in there and not even realize it. Maybe that's the, maybe you have, like, a Shrek-style candle in there. You could just pull out, but maybe you just need to go get your ears scoped or whatever they do to get all that earwax buildup out.
Go to a I was trying to think of a holistic candle maker.
Like, yeah,
hey, here you go.
Have you seen those paper cones that you can just like put a lighter underneath?
Yeah, my mom said they're kind of like BS. Like she lit one.
Oh, really?
Putting it in the ear and all the things that you see that they say is actually your earwax, you still see it regardless.
Is that just melted plastic like, from the paper or whatever?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, what hoax!
So I think it's kind of a hoax. Is what based off like what my mom said.
Wow, I had no idea.
I did not witness this personally. I have not tried it myself, but my mom did because she used it on her fiance, and then she, I don't remember why she decided to like try. There was something that led to that. I don't know if it was somebody told her or whatever, or like she. I think somebody probably told her about this, and she tested it out after trying it.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, it is.
Alternatively. You can go, like, there are, like, YouTube videos and stuff of people who go to, like, an ENT, like an ear, nose, throat doctor. But, like, some places will do, like, earwax extraction. They'll put, like, a little camera in there and try to see. And you might have a pebble's worth of earwax in it. It could be knocking off your flow.
It's going to take a metal clothes hanger. That's all. I don't need to go to a doctor. I can handle it.
I would say
myself.
Start with a paper clip, probably,
I can
at least,
all
right?
Myself.
Yeah. Yeah, just go needle nose pliers and
get kebab spikes. You know?
Yeah,
get one of those and just right into the ear.
Yeah, just try to get through there. ESPN Kansas City 1510 AM 94.5 FM does not condone, endorse, or suggest any of these non-medical practices. Just for absolute legal clearance. Jed Marshall standing outside the window. Does he want to come in? You want to come in and do SportsCenter with us? Jed's coming in. We're gonna play Andy Reid next segment, and we were gonna play some Patrick Mahomes sound this segment. But now Jed's here. I'm gonna put my mask on. You can grab that mic if you want, Jed. Which mic works, Rudy? Nope. Jed's leaving the room now. Just shout a hello.
Hey, Josh. Good stuff.
Jed Marshall's debut on ESPN Kansas City SportsCenter Kansas City. Wow, what a historic moment. Anyway, earwax and Jed notwithstanding, we're going to talk a little bit about the Chiefs' victory over the Jets. You know what? Here's the thing. I think doing the show, we have the whole post game show. It's up on the AES feed and all that stuff.
Yeah, I actually, because I think we're actually going to kind of go in the same place where it's like we're punting the audio because I got So I have a theory I want to pitch you.
Okay, are we punting the audio? That's fine, we can punt the audio.
This is Chiefs related.
Okay, what I was going to say is that this is a fitting fitting Monday episode to follow Chiefs Jets.
I thought you were going to say you were just going to ramp, just vent for a little.
We can also do that. Yeah. Well, I feel we have some
Part of this is because obviously the lack
hot
of
air.
There's not as many shows during the fall, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
I came up with a theory last night.
Okay.
I was listening to Times Hours.
Thank you.
And you guys were talking about Patrick Mahomes is essentially turnover luck by just like people, it's hard for people to pick him off.
He's thrown one pick this year. It's incredible. Like, he's thrown some interceptable passes, quote unquote. Yeah. They don't get caught. Yeah.
So there's something I was thinking of because and everything Seth said is, and you guys were saying was right. Where the sense is one, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptable balls to begin with.
Right.
A lot of times when they do, it's him. He's in a situation where the risk reward.
It's fourth down. Yes. It's a dead play. Yeah.
I started thinking though, but just even past that, the reason why so defenders have so much
can I guess?
Hard time,
can I guess?
Yes.
Is it just that he throws the ball so hard?
To an extent.
I also thought about this.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
It's essentially the arm talent, because how many times have we seen, like this happened with both McColl and Clyde, you didn't see so much with Tyreek and Kelce because they had a full year of him on the roster as the backup quarterback and getting a chance to see it. But how many times have we seen a new receiver come in and they don't get their head around fast enough because all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, this ball is here. Now you're a defender who's already not great at like catching a football.
Yeah.
That's why you play defense. And you're not used to seeing Mahomes very often, right? You see Mahomes at most in the division twice a year.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, I can pick off this pass. And then all of a sudden, you're like, holy crap, this ball got on me way faster than I thought it would.
There's the velocity.
Yes.
There's also the angles and stuff where if you're a defender, you can't be that confident the ball's coming to you. Even if you do locate it, now you got to make the play on the ball.
And
I'm here
so
for that theory.
It's a skill that Mahomes isn't necessarily intentionally doing when he throws a pass that is about to get picked off. He's not thinking himself, this ball might get picked off, so I'm going to throw it a little bit harder. But it's just part of, I think, again, of his natural arm talent, where we're at the point where it's been 2.5 years, a guy struggling to actually hold on to his to his pickable passes, the few as there are. I think it's because he's just a guy who is we've seen offensive skill players have trouble with it. If you're a defensive player who's not used to that at all, I think it catches you off guard a lot. And I think that's a legit. I think the main point around this is I don't think it's luck as much as it is just, again, an extra benefit of his arm talent. I don't think it's so much that Mahomes is lucky. I think, again, he just has this otherworldly arm.
Can I try to boil it down?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes turns every defender trying to pick off a pass into Derek Johnson.
Yes. That's the perfect description.
Right? It's just like, you
it
should
really
catch
is.
This, Derek, and you did not. For all of your excellence, Derek Johnson.
Could not pick off a pass to save your life.
Dude had a lot of dropped picks. And because it's not easy. You get your
really
hands
hard.
On the ball. You don't have the softest hands in the world, probably.
You're a linebacker. And if you did, you'd be playing tight end.
You'd
probably.
Be a tight end. Yeah, that's probably true. Maybe at least a running back.
If Derek Johnson had good hands, he's Derrick Henry.
Wow. That's a great point. Did you know that the Tampa Bay Zoo named a rhino Gronk or baby Gronk?
That feels right. I assume Boston has a zoo. I'm a little surprised. But there's got to be an animal in the Boston Zoo. Assuming Boston has a zoo.
If
after Gronk, right?
If you could have one, this is the weirdest episode of Sports Center. We're going to have just like Andy Reid's Monday Presser next, so don't worry about it. We're going to get you some Chiefs audio. If you could have one animal, like at the Kansas City Zoo, and like this is named Salazar. You could go Rudy if you want, but I feel like Salazar is more. You know, we've got three new animals at the zoo. We've got baby Salazar. We've got at JB Briscoe, and then we have Beards McFly. Those are the three animals. What should each of those animals be?
Beards McFly is probably like a meerkat.
Damn, that's so good.
Just like some little.
That's so good.
Tiny, super fast, all over the place.
I would just tweak that about 5% because I was trying to think of what's a good starting place there. I think it's a prairie dog.
Ooh, that is good.
More Midwestern, also still a little less spastic, but I feel like still likes to spend a lot of time underground playing Red Dead Redemption or whatever prairie dogs do.
It's a little scared of the outside world, but it'll poke its head out.
That's perfect.
It wants to see what's going on, but ultimately it wants to get back into its home.
Okay, so they have Beards McFly, the prairie dog.
I would like for it to be, I think, like just like a koala bear, because like
Ooh.
Just chilling and napping. But also, there's a part of me that feels like, yo, I might be stepping on marsupial territory, which we know is your ground.
I think a koala is pretty good,
but I like a good old koala bear.
If you were like, hey, who do you? What do you want? You get to be an animal for like a week. I think a koala sounds so chill.
Yeah.
So I would love that. For like to be a koala for like a week, I think they just get like a little buzz off of eucalyptus and just hang out in trees 23 hours a day or whatever. Just
get a little buzz, sleep, relax.
I would love, and just be super like fluffy and cute. Yeah, dude. I could be a koala for a week, absolutely. I think that's probably pretty good. I think, but for me, that's wishful thinking. I think my concern is that I would be the meerkat or something very high strung that isn't like, I would be like a desert jackrabbit with like the big ears or whatever. Cause like, I think that there's a whole thing, like if you scare a rabbit, it might just die because its heart is just beating that fast all the time. But like, then it also lets me be kind of like a fun little, southwestern sort of rabbit. So maybe something in that family.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, like, what is the most stressed out animal? Because that's probably me.
We both want to be koalas, but we're both actually... I just Googled... no, I don't want ill-tempered animals. I want high-strung animals. I know we have to break so we can get to Andy Reid. I know. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I'm going to try to finish the answer to that question. I'll use the commercial break to figure it out here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the Sports Center Kansas City here on ESPN Kansas City. I'm Joshua Briscoe with Rudy Salazar. I've got, I think, our answers on a couple things here. One is that Rudy and I talked a little bit about this. I'm giving you my answer now, Rudy. I was thinking you might just be a white-tailed deer after you said that you're just an animal that's being actively hunted.
That's what I was thinking too.
But I think I'm going to make you like an antelope. You know, because there is some grace there. You know, you can be a majestic creature.
A little majestic, yeah.
There are lions all around you, but you might not. Today might not be your day.
But one day,
I did find out that primates generally experience more stress and like experience stress at all. So I know what I am definitively. I'm a howler monkey.
Very good.
Like. Not even as an animal. Like that, that could be my Twitter bio or whatever.
That's like, very good.
I have in some places, like my bio is like, I talk on the radio and in real life. I think I should change it to, hi, I'm a howler monkey. That's it.
That's the bio.
So the good news is we can move on to Andy Reid. I mean, he's a walrus, right? He's just like the leader of the walruses. I think he gets it. Look at the mustache. And
just out here eating all those Adam Gay seals.
Yeah.
Do walruses eat seals?
I don't think walruses eat seals.
I'm just guessing. I feel like everything that lives in the ocean eats a seal at some point.
That's fair.
Just dabble in it.
Sure. Maybe you're a seal.
Works.
Andy Reid spoke to the media today. Obviously, after the victory over the Jets and now looking ahead a little bit to the Carolina Panthers, although that week will really start on Wednesday when he speaks to the media. Then let's hear from Andy Reid getting his kind of injury report and opening statement before the Q&A from today's press conference.
Okay. Don't have any injuries for you right now. The guys are just coming in. So I thought overall it was a good, solid performance. By the team, good team effort. I thought again, all three phases contributed and played well. So I thought there were some nice adjustments that took place. Coordinators had a good game plan, and then they made a few adjustments during the game, and that helped too. So again, without picking one person or one side of the ball, I just thought overall it was a good team win. That time's yours.
Hey, Andy, you guys had the 4th-and-1 that you went for yesterday. I'm just curious, maybe this is a little off the wall, but has your calculus changed in those situations about the quarterback sneak after what happened in Denver last year?
If I was honest with you, I'd probably tell you, yeah. You know, I hate to admit it, but that didn't work out so well. So, and I think we have other things that we can do. We didn't do very well yesterday with it, but for the most part, we're pretty good with it. Pretty good with it. Yesterday wasn't good enough.
Coach, the fake field or fake punt, I'm sorry, for the first down. I know a lot of guys, that'll be something that they, it's maybe just a hot call if it's out there. Was that something that was planned or was that something, you know, that was called from the sideline, or is that just a read the guys did on the play?
Yeah, so we've had it up for the last couple weeks. We were going to do it right there. So Dave put it on and we went with it. So we have ones where we do read things, but this one here was predetermined. So.
Hey, Coach, good morning. Obviously, the trade deadline is tomorrow, and so this is the obligatory question every year around this time. How active do you think the team will be, and how unique is it this year, especially given the COVID circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique, but there's been movement, and I don't know what takes place here the next couple of days, whether it's here or anywhere else, but there has been movement. It's somewhat unique, and just from the testing standpoint, what you have to get done before the player can actually get on the field. So, but it's, we'll see how it goes here the next couple of days here, next day or so.
Hey, Andy, there are quarterbacks out there, obviously, who can make a lot of big plays, and there's some who are good at avoiding turnovers and other mistakes, but very few like Pat who can do both of those things at a really high level. Can you maybe go into give us an example of some of the, what he does so well that allows him to marry those two things really well? And Brad will have one quick follow-up too.
Yeah, he's got great vision. And most of all, feel in the pocket, just on where things are happening and the pressures are coming from. And then, obviously when he's out in space, it's great for young kids to watch him when he breaks the pocket, that his eyes are always downfield. And to be able to do that with confidence, you've got to know where everybody's at and have trust in the guys. And he does a nice job. Nice job with that.
Okay, and looks like you're going to be playing against Christian McCaffrey on Sunday, assuming he's coming back this week, which I think he is. What were your thoughts on him when he was coming out in the draft that year, and would he have been a guy you may have considered had Pat not been available there for you guys?
Sure. No, he would have fit in the offense well. I think probably – every coach would say that in this league. He was a heck of a college player, and he's sure doing a nice job in the NFL. So we'll have to make sure we know what's going on with him. Not that David, their other running back is doing very well too, filling in for him. So they have a really, along with the receiver that also plays running back. So they've got three guys there that are really talented players. By the way, nice hat. I appreciate you breaking that out.
Coach, looking at the stat sheet, it just kind of stood out. Passing yardage almost at 450 and then running yards at 50. Was there something that New York was doing that kind of prevented you all from getting what you wanted to click on in the running game? Or was it just the adjustments that you were talking about earlier? We know we can get these guys through the year. And then I'll have one quick follow-up, Brad. But it'll be fine, I promise.
We got a lot of follow-ups. That's good, huh? So what we looked at was we were coming in with a top five run defense, and they're pretty stout up front, do a nice job. Their scheme allows them to do that likewise, and so we felt like whether it was the RPO game or that was attached to the run game, that that and or our throwing game, that short intermediate game, would be good. And so we kind of leaned on those areas, and it worked out okay. Yeah.
And the follow-up is, it seems like you were a very popular Halloween costume with the week one outfit, the foggy face mask. That just, you can't live it down, right?
Listen, that's all right. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, humbling, right?
Andy, you guys lead the league in turnover differential right now, plus +9. You're tied for having the most takeaways in the league with 14. From your perspective, just what have you appreciated most from your defensive coaching staff and how they coach guys to be opportunistic in trying to get the ball?
Well, they practice it, Nate, right? You're out there. You see that. I mean, they they hammer that point home, and the guys believe in it, and they're the ones executing it on the field. So they believe in it. They some of it's just being in the proper position to be able to either make an interception or not, and understanding the defense. And so there's a lot of hours that go in from a player standpoint on making sure they know that the scheme and can take advantage of opportunities when the ball's in the air. So they've done a nice job. And then tackling the football, still form tackling, but sliding your hat to the side of the ball, you know, has been helpful too.
Hey, Coach, I do have my Missouri Tigers shirt on for you, but
yeah, I appreciate that too. I just saw Tiger in the background. Yeah.
Hey, this might be a bit of an esoteric question for you on a Monday, but you've never been shy about looking to other teams and coaches for ideas on offense. I'm just curious, you know, who do you look to? I mean, is there anybody right now that you look at the college level or other coaches in the league and think that there's ideas that you can pick up and learn from them?
Yeah, well, I've got Joe Blamire here who does all the behind the scenes things with all that. And he spends a tremendous amount of time going through everything from high school to college to pro and just gathering ideas. And then whether we rearrange the play or we sneak it into our playbook as is. And but it stimulates. It's something that keeps you alive and current. And then also helps on the defensive side, kind of knowing what's coming forward in the progression of offenses in this league. So, but I give a lot of credit to him and how he goes about that and the hours that he spends there. So.
Hey, Coach. So we've seen Chad Henne a few times late in games this year, and I know you're a guy that doesn't really take any lead in the NFL for granted. What are you looking for when you're trying to look to put in the second team into the game? Is it a certain score you're looking to hit or a certain time in the game?
Robert, you know what? That last part cut out there. Just say that one more time.
So what are you looking for when you're trying to determine when to put in the second unit? Is it a certain score, a certain time in the game? What are you looking for?
Yeah, kind of movement on both sides. Just where we're at, the score obviously starts that thought process, but are you safe doing that and still, being able to get those guys an opportunity to play? And you never know when they're going to be in the game playing in a normal situation. And then listen, they all bust their tail during the week, and it gives them an opportunity to feel a part of it. And so that, you know, all of that kind of goes into the thinking, I would tell you. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, I wonder if you could just speak to how kind of your defensive backfield has had to work through lots of different things this year with suspensions and injuries and all that, and how well they've ended up playing for you.
I missed this thing's cutting out for whatever reason. I don't know what's going on. Say it, just give it to me one more time.
Your defensive backfield with all the different changes and, you know, suspensions and injuries and how they've kind of battled through all of that and continued to kind of get the job done for you.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. Dave Merritt, Sam, they've done a nice job of keeping everything together and teaching all the young guys and the veteran players. I think they've done that well, and the guys all trust each other, and they've worked them in a little bit, like what we talk more about when Andy Heck moves the offensive line around. They do the same thing in the secondary, and so when a guy has an opportunity to jump in, it's not foreign. It's the player feels comfortable with it, and most of all the guys around him feel comfortable with it. And they're at that position, you've got to have great communication. So, that becomes very important that they have trust in each other there.
Hey, good morning, Andy. I know that you've talked about this several times throughout the course of the summer, but now that we are 24 hours removed away from the election and you're starting to, I'm sure, see the kind of the setup going on and it's becoming a little more real. Just how proud are you of your guys that they really led this charge to get that type of change done?
Yeah. So I think it's neat that they've been able to do it right here at the stadium. And there were a lot of things that had to go right to get that done. And a lot of it had to do, first of all, with the players having a plan. Second of all, presenting it to management and ownership. And then those people in ownership and management supporting him. So Clark Hunt, Mark Donovan have gone above and beyond to support the players. And that's what team's all about. So there's great respect there. And that's the part I appreciate the most, just how everybody pulled together to jointly get this thing done.
There's Andy Reid. Last question there, of course, about the fact that Jackson County voters can vote. I think some Jackson County voters can vote at Arrowhead Stadium. I live in Jackson County now, and that's not my polling place. I'm not totally sure about the details of that. So Google it and find out your polling place if you have not voted yet, especially in Missouri. We're currently broadcasting from Kansas. Kansas has been easier to get all that process done in. Missouri's been a little harder. So if you're hearing this right now and you haven't voted yet, get your plan for tomorrow. We will talk tomorrow, both here and over on 810. This is ESPN Kansas City.